morning, Cascadia. You're listening to KBOO, 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Today's Monday, August 24th, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre. In Clatsop County, a third recall campaign hits a few snags that sends commissioners a clear message, no to LNG. Meanwhile, back in Portland, Metro plans to build a world's greenest building, and Pittsburgh gears up for the G20 summit. We'll be talking to activists there about their plans. Portland area weather today, patchy fog this morning, mostly sunny inland, highs 80 to 90 tonight, clear to partly cloudy, lows 40 to 50. Tomorrow cloudy, perhaps a bit of drizzle in the morning, especially likely along the coast. We go to regional news from around Cascadia. The Oregon Sustainability Center is expected to break ground next year. The structure is billed as the cutting edge among earth-friendly buildings, featuring solar panels and a long-planned Portland streetcar extension. After more than a year of technical studies, the greenest large-scale building in the world appears poised to start construction at Portland State University next year. Weighing in at $90 million, the Oregon Sustainability Center will be a showcase of the state's green building innovation that draws visitors, researchers, and designer developers from across the world. Let's hope that it'll stand up to the ravages of climate change. And once again, whenever you see something like this, throwing money at climate change is not going to fix it. Cutting it off at the source is the only solution, and probably the last one that we'll try. Researchers at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory in Richland, Washington, have developed a reusable organic liquid that can pull harmful gases such as carbon dioxide or sulfur dioxide out of industrial emissions from power plants. The process could directly replace current methods and allow power plants to capture double the amount of harmful gases in a way that uses no water, less energy, and saves money. Once again, a techno fix for a problem that shouldn't exist in the first place. Burning coal is not a way out of our current problems. But on the other hand, this new techno fix sounds like a great investment. Now will they believe that residents of Clatsop County are united in their resolve to stop the Bradwood Landing LNG terminal? Plans are in the works for yet a third recall of Clatsop County Commissioner Patricia Roberts. Jan Mitchell, one of the leaders of the other two recalls, said that the people in Roberts' district are bringing the forms needed for the recall process to the elections office and working through getting things together in the proper form. They expect to have those forms completed and filed today. If this doesn't send a message to Clatsop County commissioners that the people do not want an LNG terminal at Bradwood Landing or any other landing, then I don't know what it's going to take to get the message across. But once they're all fit, once they're all gone and out of the way, at least we'll be another step ahead in the process of kicking Oregon LNG off the Columbia River permanently. Hey, thanks globalization for the latest exotic import to hit our emerald shores. Northwest wildlife and power officials are increasingly concerned about the impact a tiny traveling mussel could have on the region's multi-billion dollar effort to save Columbia and Snake River salmon. But wait, power officials are concerned about Columbia and Snake River salmon? That's rich. The Energy Department has never seen fish as anything but obstacles in the rush for obscene profits. Howsomever, invasive mussels, quaggas and zebras, actually, will make it here eventually, and it's going to cost us a lot of money when they do. And once again, they'll come up with a techno fix. Instead of sending goods around the world in increasingly less efficient means of transportation until we start getting what we need here, we're going to have the problem. But again, that solution is the last one that is going to be applied in every, just as in every other case. We're going to go for a techno fix, and there will be investors. They will invest money. Somebody's going to make out like bandits on the whole deal. Disaster capitalism. Turn of the screw time. Turnabouts in European and Asian economies, along with recent gains in the U.S., are raising hopes that the worldwide recession is drawing to a close. That's not to say, of course, that the coast is clear. The brightening outlook in Europe and Asia and the improvement in U.S. credit markets and indicators reflect heavy government stimulus spending. Many analysts question whether the top economies can sustain recoveries after stimulus measures and easy credit policies have run their course. And in the absence of significant new consumer spending, especially among Americans, the future is looking less and less sustainable. President Barack Obama has approved creation of a new special terrorism-era interrogation unit to be supervised by the White House. The move's clearly an attempt to placate the people who elected him and distance himself from George Bush's detainee policies. The unit does not mean that the CIA is now officially out of the interrogation business. We're going to, I think, outsource it this time. Once Guantanamo Bay is empty, you know that the operations there will simply migrate to unmonitored black sites strewn across the world. We are going to try and get our first guest on the line today. Listeners may recall that Aaron James inadvertently became the target of a national security witch hunt. I don't know what else to call it. That in and of itself was strange enough, considering that Aaron James started out as a biochemistry student and has now become the most controversial political figure that you've never heard of. The media, and this is what's the strangest thing about it to me, the media, left, right, and center, won't touch this story. And the one thing that might have made a difference to this man would have been public scrutiny. My guest today is Aaron James, joining us by phone from Winnipeg, with a coda to a disturbing saga of state-sponsored persecution. Good morning, Aaron, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chris.
Aaron, our listeners may or may not be familiar with your story. There is now quite an ample cache of information about what happened to you and all the ancillary evidence that's come to light. So it's easy for people to access this information, the background on this, but currently events have taken an interesting turn. Tell listeners, if you can, what's been going on with you lately.
Well, we've been contacted by FBI, sending threats through email, which I posted on our website, and by CIA. MP3 Republic Broadcasting Network attempted to take it down, but I put it back up as video. CIA called in 10 minutes after I mentioned her name, having called in the day before on a different network, WTBRN at the time. In other words, we were being stalked. It's quite obvious. Our lines tapped, and several people have made a test to that account, including Leslie Hughes of Canadian Dimension Magazine, who was witness to the first abduction attempt. But the CIA have been recently exposed in black site prison torture cells by the Red Cross through the distribution of classified files that were leaked. And we have that beside the video of Agent Barbara Hartwell up on our main website now. Currently, it's called it McCainattacks.blogspot.com. I'll explain the title. Again, the spelling of this is M-C-C-A-I-N attacks, A-T-T-A-C-K-S, .blogspot.com, blogspot.com. We were originally attacked aboard Northwest Airlines, coming as Canadian citizens to the United States, Minneapolis, for to see about an injury to my arm, a consult with a surgeon. And we were racially profiled. Looking into the demographics of Minnesota, you see that they house the highest Somali population in all of the United States. And it was a breeding ground for racial profiling at the time, in a pioneer profiling project brought in from Israel under Ron Raffi. Israel now notorious for the afflictions upon the Palestinians in the Middle East, for which the U.S. is complicit. They introduced this program and had completed a six-month extremist profiling program only 8 days prior to our arrival, and our bags were checked and were locks cut and rummaged through. We made a complaint about this fact, not realizing that the airline was, in fact, an affiliate of the McCain administration. Northwest Airlines is the top two clientele, along with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, of the McCain Executive Legal Counsel, and was the official airline carrier for the McCain campaign of 2008, otherwise known more commonly in the U.S. as the McCain hate campaign. His obsession with terrorism, with Muslim, with, now I'm from my father is from Trinidad, but we were obviously assumed to be that, as after the attack, which left me in a pool of blood, I was interrogated by FBI agent Wrench, who would later appear stalking me at home, who tried to relate and compare me to Al-Qaeda, attempting to create links and lineage. Now, the airline has been sued properly by the ACLU due to racial profiling practices and KKK affiliations, for which there is online documentation. The FBI's ties to the airline, we have been put through a covert tribunal where there were covert agents, including FBI, in the jury pool, of which scan can be found on the website McCainAttacks.blogspot.com. They eventually curated Kill Bushite websites with my name and my URL at the top prior to initiating the first abduction attempt, for which Leslie Hughes of CBC was witness, that I forwarded to Rokhtar Seif of the International Civil Liberties Monitoring Group, who is also witness to this forensics, as well as Michelle Gross, Communities United Against Police Brutality. They tried to leverage extradition under a false pretense, extradition, which is really abduction, in order to silence our voice of protest against the McCain administration.
Could you, Aaron, just go over that last bit about the abduction again? This is something that I know
the
that listeners do have questions about this, and we're talking about some pretty serious crimes against you.
I'm talking about implicating and indicting the Republican Party, the McCain administration, not McCain particularly, although we were threatened against McCain, of which documented scanning is found on our webpage, and we recently received, as of June the 9th, threatening email from that same individual, Stephen Davis, whose material can be seen at StopZion.com, MormonCityMax.com, and other websites that he has, which I have documented there. But the abduction, the Winnipeg Police Chief, Keith McCaskill, is president of the North, that's here in Canada, is president of the Northwest Chapter of Associates FBI, with affiliation with Minneapolis law enforcement, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. Minneapolis is the site of the attack that occurred on McCain-affiliated airline, Northwest Airlines. And so they are using the Winnipeg Police Force in capacity, Winnipeg Police Chief Keith McCaskill, in his role as FBI affiliate, illegally. Of course, there's no jurisdiction and there are no crimes that we've committed for which there can be extradition. And so they've used various ploys, including outright abduction attempts, which, by the way, the United States has now legalized under Alan Q. Jones, who argued for the legality of abduction before a British court in 2007, January. So the United States has officially become a pirate state, where they can, without charges, on mere supposed or trumped up assumptions on any Canadian citizen or U.S. citizen or anyone in the world, breach the laws of other countries, including the Canadian Charter of Rights, which prohibits that, and abduct you from your own home. No one is safe as far as political persecution is concerned. CIA agent Barbara Hartwell attest that I am a target of political persecution, and yet, of course, this is a ruse in the fact that, by the fact that she is obviously stalking us, having called in 10 minutes after I mentioned her name on an arbitrary station, having called in the day before, and the fact that our name has been put up on FBI.gov, that we've been threatened against the FBI and the affiliation with Minneapolis, with the Winnipeg Police Chief, with FBI, and with Minnesota.
Aaron, when you say we, can you tell us this, who you
My
are?
My mother's life was threatened against John McCain directly. As strange as that sounds, the email that you'll see scanned in is copied to John McCain, FBI, and U.S. Attorney's Office. And what Stephen Davis said to me by the phone is, you should know I have a very good relationship with John, a friendship with John McCain. I would be ashamed if anything were to happen to your mother. The abduction attempts that have occurred thus far, although we are still currently to this day receiving threats to that effect, all took place between the election period. The first one on October the 27th of 2007, witnessed by CBC freelance journalist And more importantly, Canadian Dimension magazine journalist Leslie Hughes.
Aaron, that's all we have time for. So if you could wrap it up a little bit and conclude. What I'd like to just say is that the whole story is extraordinary. Anyone who thinks it sounds like bizarre conspiracy theory is welcome to check up on all of this, every detail.
Yes, the Jerry Aaron's experience. The police threats with mentioning U.S. Marshal Kelly Mutchler, FBI agent Mark Wrench, in the police notes that I have scanned in on the website, the video where Cartwell, a CIA agent, calls in, and the threats regarding McCain. A video is being put together by Divergent Films in Tragedy and Hope magazine at this point in time. And the reason that you haven't heard about this is because the media and government have been working together in order to stifle our account. CBC put someone else on television in January of 2008.
But it's still extraordinary that on the left there's been absolute silence. I want to thank you very much.
The media stole our identity. I need to get that out. CBC put someone else on television in January of 2008 in a watered-down account, as witnessed and relayed to us by Leslie Hughes of Canadian Dimension magazine, who apprised us of this fact, who was also a witness to the first abduction attempt upon our persons and the horrendous suffering that my mother and I have endured and family as a whole thereafter. I have had to be in hiding for a period of many months during the first attempt.
All we have time for today.
Thank you.
I must please, listeners, understand that we don't have any more time. We'd like to have Aaron James back again, and thank you very, very much for joining us today by phone from Winnipeg. And it's an absolutely extraordinary story, and it certainly bears looking at carefully in detail, because everything that Mr. James has said today can be corroborated and substantiated. And this has been Air Cascadia for Monday, August 24th, 2009. The engineer is Tammy Dean. Trillium Shannon is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director in for Kathleen Stevenson, who's out on sabbatical. I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to All Natural, Free Range, Non-Syndicated KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members. Stay tuned. Coming up this morning, right now, 10:15, listen to Earthbeat with Mike Tidwell. Are wind currents across the planet slowing down due to global warming? Also, how do your food choices impact climate change? At 11, Gene Parker, blind American journalist, discusses her role as a radio journalist in India for NPR, CBC, BBC, and other radio networks in a speech given at the American Council for the Blind Convention in 2008. At 11:30, Becca Bartleson talks with Sandor Katz, author of Wild Fermentation and The Revolution Will Not Be Microwaved. Thanks for listening, and have a good day.